All right.
Well, it is, goodness, I don't know what date it is. It's November 9th. It is, I'm here with Caleb, and my name is Halcyon. We are here for a Hug Nation gathering. Once a week, we try to gather in our little digital
cocoon.
Meeting place. Yes, your physical cocoon. This is where Grandpa Caleb is in his cocoon, and hopefully a long incubation period in your cocoon before you break through your chrysalis. And so at the end of lunch each week with Grandpa, he and I have decided to integrate our Hug Nation. So after we have lunch, and we are coming up here, and we've got an audio broadcast via the net, and we've got a video broadcast via the net, and so we've got our makeshift studio here to try to create a hub, a place for us all to gather in our minds and in our hearts for a once-a-week reminder of the importance of love, really. And we symbolize that through a hug, hugging ourselves and understanding and projecting a hug to the world. Before we do our hug, I just wanted to, because of the date and because of what's happened since our last hug, we had an election, I just wanted to maybe ask you a couple questions about, I know a lot of people, myself included, were very frustrated and feeling very pessimistic after the election, and I wanted to know, as someone who's gone through many, many, many elections, and probably many things that were not your first choice, any thoughts as to staying positive, or goals to set for ourselves, or...
Well, first of all, we live in a very unique country, America, and for most of us here, it's an obstetrical accident that we're here. But we can think, we can will, we can choose, and I am thrilled that so many young people became involved in the election. I feel sad because it means the direction we are going will probably continue, and that means difficulty in terms of the basic values. They talked about moral values, but the basic values is to be concerned for the poor, to help people to have the good things in life, and to rather than being so deeply involved in the war that we don't have how it's going to come out. I've been reading books on Iraq and the story of the Quran and the story of that long history. It goes back to that early biblical time where Moses and the others were involved and they found freedom and is under great persecution. And here we had the privilege to vote. See, even Jesus that I follow, he couldn't vote. He was in a conquered country. And so we've had that great privilege, and I just hope the young people won't get disillusioned, because democracy comes from one Greek transition is the people rule. And so we've got to keep involved, and I plan to call on my congressman at Washington, D.C. I plan to write letters. I want to know them better, and along with all the lobbyists, I think we need to put pressure on people, not let them get away with things. And it's just so sad what's happened, but this is America, and I'm not disillusioned. I'm going to go ahead, and I was just throwing away some material this morning some beautiful things that I was sent by certain people who were trying to get elected, and we didn't succeed, but they have name recognition now, and
right.
Maybe next time they will. But I'm excited about life, and excited about you, and excited about my family, and I'm excited about the unique privileges and pleasures that we have.
I agree. Do you think it seems like there's a lot of division between the blue states and the red states?
Yes.
You know, I even saw a T-shirt that had a picture of all the blue states and it said "Better dead than red."
Yes.
Is there?
That's what they want to do. They like to call us communists. We're not communists. We are members of a democracy. And we exercise our franchises at the polls, and this idea. I was once called a communist in a parish I had in Denver, and I had a hard time because to accuse a person is to make people suspicious of you.
Right.
And that was in an article that was written in Texas, and I saw the article from a church bulletin that he was a communist, and it bothered me very greatly, but I'm not a communist. I'm a loyal, loving American, and I pray for America and rejoice in America. But social programs that Franklin Roosevelt started, they're being sabotaged in so many ways. Peace Corps, that's the way to make a difference. Let young people go overseas and show them how we live and help them improve their stage of life. And my joy has been that in Haiti, I helped there in sending money and also getting an electrical light plant for them, also getting a water system for them. I even was there one time and showed articles of how to make a latrine, and they smile, but they learn how to do it because it's healthy. And so those are the kind of things that missionaries do. And I still feel that the missionaries are the inner statesmen of world order, because for God so loved the world. Hmm. And that's it. And I follow Jesus.
Now, a few people are coming in to view us. That's great. Let's see. We see a few people are listening as well. Excellent. Now, this might be an unfair question, but...
No question's unfair.
But now, often people view missionaries as spreading the same kind of Christian values that we are currently being... we're being confused by now. I mean, when I think of a missionary, I think of them going into a country and spreading not just the teachings of Christ, but also the values that may or may not be what I agree with. I mean, wouldn't a missionary 20 years ago, or maybe even currently, be preaching against homosexuality?
I don't think so. I don't think the ones that I have known are very full-orbed people who went as missionaries, because we took in medicine, we took in doctors. When Carol and I went the last time to Haiti, I took 85 or 1,000, about 9,000 diaphragms into Haiti.
Really?
We began to try to teach people to not have so many children. That was that kind of thing. My particular denomination is heavy on agriculture and schools. And it's true, there's been a lot of Christians have brainwashed, that's right. But mostly, as I look back on it, I think that we've been concerned about agriculture and education and teaching and helping them to help themselves. The idea you teach a person to fish, that old quote, you know.
Right.
And so you teach them how, and then you improve their life. But then Standard Oil always follows right after, and all the merchants and that sort of thing. Homosexuality is not an issue to me, because I see people... I think I see all my brothers and sisters as Jesus sees them. And I think that in homosexuality, you're born with the capacity to be homosexual, if that's the issue you're talking about. And that's the religious right has been so heavy against. They've used everything to get rid of people.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let us do... you ready to do a quick Hug Nation?
Sure.
All right. So, we're going to hug each other.
Yeah.
And I am going to look at the people that are in the chat room and speak out to the people who are listening. And we are going to visualize those people in our minds. And then we're going to visualize the family members that are not with us right now. I learned this from Grandpa Caleb, as he sits in the jacuzzi almost every day and visualizes each member of our family as he sits there and sends us love and blessings. And I think it is a strong reason why our family is so love-filled. And I take this chance right now to say thank you, Grandpa.
Thank you.
So we take that lesson and send out blessings as we sit here with our eyes closed, send out blessings to all the people in our family who are not around us.
I think
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I just thought of a song I used to sing with young people when we held hands or put our arms and shoulders, and we sang an old Russian hymn. And I think I'll try it.
Please do.
My God and I go in the fields together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows hue. He tells me of the years that went before me, when heavenly plans were made for me to be, when all was but a dream of dim conception, to come to life, earth's verdant glory see. This world will pass, and with it common trifles, but God and I will go unendingly. Amen.
Amen. Nice. Well, let's lead that right into our final Hug Nation. And so we think about our people, think about those Russians who are singing that song, and we think about the people we passed in the car today, and we think about people all around the world, people who are frightened and who are scared, people who may be victims and bystanders to conflicts that they don't deserve to be involved with, and we send out love and light to them. And we take a moment and we squeeze ourselves by the shoulders.
Yep.
And we imagine that our arms are their arms reaching out and giving us love, and we imagine that our arms are projecting out to them and giving them hugs, broadcasting all over the world, sending out love and hugs and good thoughts and light, illuminating the dark spots in people's hearts. And we send out a big I love you to the world, to all of our brothers and sisters, and happy Hug Nation. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you, Grandpa.
Thank you for inviting us. It's unusual. Very rare.
It's well,
unique, different.
You know, I think it was Gandhi that said something like, "It hardly matters what you do, but it's extremely important that you do it."
That's right. That's good.
Something like that. So. Yeah.
So you make the weight of your life count in your concern. Amen. That's good.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming
all
again.
All right, so if you've been listening, thank you for tuning in to another version of Hug Nation. We will see you next week.